after the hour of noon in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970. Proud part of the CBS Radio family is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming on, making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Please make a note of it. Thank you. It is Wednesday. We thank you for coming by and welcome to the third day of the second week of the fifth iteration of the greatest damn radio program you have ever heard in your life. Proud to be here broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. I apologize in advance because I, even more so than normal, you're going to hear the sound of rustling, shuffling papers. As Edgar Allan Poe would say, you're going to hear the wrinkling and tinkling of the papers. We were talking the other day about how 8 is the new 9, and how now when they say office hours, they no longer mean 9 o'clock. It used to be you get up at 7:30, whatever, you have your toast, you put the Vitalis in your hair, you come to work, you get here at 9 o'clock. It now, not only am I having to get here like 8:30, 8:15, 8 o'clock, by the time I get in, there's now one endless meeting after another. And so I got in, I swear to God, 5.5 hours early today. And I'm just now, literally like 6 minutes ago, walking into the studio, as ill-prepared as ever a radio host was. So we'll see how that
works. Any paper jams?
No, I haven't actually had time to print anything. So we'll see what sort of entertainment I can whip up out of, you know, thin freaking air. It's 503-733-2970. You're going to email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on today, Steven Tyler turns 58. 58, and I think is having a hip replaced. I may be wrong about that. He's having some segment of his body's being taken out and removed.
We'll have that. He's beginning to look more and more like Joan Rivers before her fourth operation every day.
Before she got to Brazil, done before she had her face all stretched. He's having some section of his body removed and replaced with a brand new cybernetic organism. So we'll find out more about that. We get the
courtesy of Alistair Cook.
walking around with Alistair Cook's bones. So later on today, we will do the top five Aerosmith songs that you've never heard because they never get played on the radio. We'll also do an exciting installment, actually the inaugural installment here on the fifth version of this program on Rick Emerson version 5.0. We will do the inaugural return of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. We'll also have Goths, a CBS Radio special report brought to you by Tim Riley and some other things as well. And we'll talk about this MySpace business as well. I didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. This kid, and I've apparently made the enemy. I've become the mortal enemy of some 16-year-old gat-toting gangster type in Florida. We'll talk about that. And we'll get your phone calls, and we'll play some of this completely horrific production music that we rescued from the refuse pile here at CBS Radio. It is the Rick Emerson Show. It is Wednesday. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who's keeping things in tune and on time and running the nucleus, the nerve center, the linchpin of the entire Rick Emerson organization. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you really doing well, or is that sort of an automated response?
No, I slept. I got a lot of sleep last night. Well, one of my best girlfriends has been in South America for the past 3 months, so I'm going to go out a bit tonight. So I'm going to be in poor shape tomorrow, just
excellent.
To let you know.
So I can know in advance not to speak loudly.
Exactly. Yeah, I already took a nap today. I'm ready to go.
That's fantastic.
I tried to sleep last night. I've been doing this every other night kind of a thing, where like Sunday into Monday, I got no sleep. Monday into Tuesday was fine. Last night, again, no sleep because I got home late last night, and it's like my wife was working. She was at the gym, and so I had to go pick. She didn't have a bike or a car, and it was running late, and so I had to go pick her up. So I get home late. I don't even sit down in front of the television until 11 o'clock, and last night's the Shield finale, which, of course, runs even with the TiVo. The Shield finale last night runs an hour and 15 minutes. It just consumed my entire night. I get to bed, and, of course, it is always the nights that you need to get to sleep early that you can't because your brain kicks itself into some sort of high-octane fueled overdrive about all the things you got to get done the next day. And you start to do that. You start to do that weird split screen in your head argument with self kind of a thing about, you got to get it tomorrow at 6 a.m. because you got that all company meeting, and then you got the department head meeting, and then you got to file all that work with the production guy. And you went, I need to go to sleep. I know, but I'm just. Dude, we're never going to get it all done. We're going to wake up and we're going to be behind. You're not possibly going to have enough coffee in your system to get any of this work done. We're going to be 15 hours behind by the time 5 o'clock rolls. I know! just let me sleep.
Oh, my God, you're crazy.
And you dream of going fishing.
And then, you know, and so so at the end of it, you end up getting 2 hours of sleep and you wake up cranky and irritable, covered with a strange rash. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, working on the following stories for your edification. It's Tim Riley, the Johnson 970 Newsroom.
An Oregon family lost in the woods for 17 days, passes the time reading jokes from Reader's Digest. GM offers each of his employees over $100,000 to quit and not come back. Americans are growing increasingly concerned that soldiers are dying every day in Iraq. Vermont's governor visiting his troops in Iraq is disappointed they're not being served authentic Vermont maple syrup.
All right.
And your teenage gov heading for ruin? A special CBS report coming up later.
Fantastic. It is all on the way, as well as your phone calls today at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it is rick@rickemerson.com. And by the way, when you do call in, I urge you to be nice and to speak in gentle, dulcet tones to Sarah, who is not necessarily hungover as of this actual moment, but is operating under a little bit of pressure today, as she has been for a few weeks, because the phones are still feeding right direct. Because back at the old show, it was myself and it was Tim and Sarah, and then we had either Kyle or some sort of intern, somebody was helping Sarah handle all the phone work. And there is no such person today.
Well, it's not just that. It's that I don't want to talk too loudly because we're all in the same room. I don't want to, you know, be laughing with the listener and be distracting you.
So if you call, there may be a slight delay period while Sarah screens your, and she may be the slightest bit brusque. So you'll want to tread lightly with her. I'm not saying you're going to be rude. I'm saying you've got many things, many balls in the air, many things you're doing. You got many things under your command and supervision here at the CBS Radio. So there you go. Oh, by the way, if you should happen to come into the radio station at any point, whether you're listening to our show, whether you're listening to one of the other fine stations here at the CBS cluster in Portland, Oregon, should you come down to the coin tower to pick up any sort of a prize, any sort of anything you've won, any sort of an item for perhaps a couple from, you know, K-Hits, any of the other stuff, I urge you with everything in me to be polite and nice to our receptionist at Front Carol, who's recovering from a horrific injury, and as such is probably just the slightest bit short-tempered this week.
She was really nice to me today.
No, she's very nice. I don't want to spread any misconceptions.
You've
about
never
that.
Told me about this injury. You've
because
been
you don't want to know.
No, I want to.
You don't want to know what she did. You don't want to know what
you
happened to Carol.
You can't just say horrific injury and then not say what it is.
And again, I got to say very clearly up front and for the record, for all time, that Carol's a fantastic person. She's been
very helpful.
Been very nice to me since the very first day we set our miserable, stinking feet inside these fine hallways. Carol has been nothing but great. All I'm saying is she's in a recovery period now. You don't want to know.
What?
No,
what happened?
See, you say that you want to know. You say that you want to know what happened to her.
Well, this isn't like a piece of paper where it's some complete stranger. I actually know this person.
And being a newsman, I'm naturally curious.
I can tell you. Now, here's what you have to do. It's like on my TiVo, where when you go to reset the TiVo, it actually makes you press the thumbs up button 3 times, and then you have to hit 350 enter. Like, you have to go through this whole circuitous, all these machinations to reset it, because it wants to make sure that, like, you really want to reset it. Is that you don't do it by accident. So, you have to say to me now twice in a row that you want to hear what happened to Carol.
I want to hear what happened to Carol.
I, too, would like to hear what happened to Carol.
Now, Sarah's got to say it again, though.
All right, I want to hear what happened to Carol.
Okay, what's the most horrific injury? And I'll give you a hint. It is a neck up injury. It is something that happened to her in the area. It happened somewhere in the, like, between her neck and the top of her head.
Root canal.
No.
She fell into a porta potty.
No. Why would you say that?
I don't know. That would be pretty horrific.
Why is that? Of all of the 500 skillion things you could have come up with,
it's the fear
what
of
thought
mine.
Process was used to reach that conclusion?
It's the fear.
What did you pass over before selecting that as your most likely candidate for
injury? I was trying to think, you know what, with you, I've got to think way out there.
You've got to think
thinking,
waste.
I was thinking outside the box.
Thinking inside the box, it sounds like to me.
Okay, no, what happened?
I'll tell you in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Top the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Inside their snowbound RV, the family supplies and fuel were running low, and news reports indicated People had given up looking for them. We had fuel and food, but we were running short. We were rationing, says Albert, one of the missing.
Says who?
Albert.
All right.
Mm-hmm. The family decided to send two members out for help, hoping to end more than 2 weeks trapped in the snowy wilderness of Oregon. It worked. 2 days after they, 17 days, I should say, after they first vanished, they were rescued. So all six of the family were reunited in Glendale, about 80 miles north of the California border.
Okay, you got to know right now that I don't know anything about the story. I don't know anything about the family. I've seen the this is one of those stories where I somehow missed the primary and secondary phases of the story, and now all I see, the only news stories I've seen are the cleanup.
Well, the family's trouble began when they became lost on their way home. I guess they went off the trail, or drove off the trail, and got stuck in the mountains in 4 feet of snow at 3,800 feet.
And so where were they?
In Southern Oregon.
Okay, and this is in a car?
This is in an RV.
Mm-hmm. An RV.
Yep.
Now, is this sort of the...
A recreational vehicle.
I know what I know what RV stands for. Is this sort of... Are we talking the $150,000 Winnebago? Are we talking the sort of rickety camper with the trout sticker on the back?
And I have not seen the picture of
it. The Good Sam decal?
I have not.
Are we talking just a box that you're carrying on the back of a pickup truck that your children live in with you? Mm-hmm. Is this... All right, so they get lost in 4 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm. The two children pass evenings by reading jokes from Reader's Digest to the adults.
Well, I think that tells us what we need to know.
They started with knock-knock jokes, but when they... Knock-knock, who's there? Oh, kids, let's not do that. There's nobody there. The family lived through the ordeal on dehydrated food and other provisions that they had been saving since Y2K.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And the power of Jesus, I mm-hmm. think. Yes.
Jesus is not mentioned here, nor is he thanked. Let's see here. The mother just said, "I love you, baby," to her daughter.
All right. I don't understand anything about this story. Whatever. All I know is it's people trapped in snow, and they didn't
That's
end
the
up,
gist of it.
And they didn't end up eating each other, did they?
No, they had Reader's Digest.
Well, then I don't care. It does sort of... 98% of the story is given to you by the fact that they were in an RV and that they was apparently laden down with copies of Reader's Digest.
Right.
Given those two things, you can probably connect all the rest of the dots yourself in your head. I'll just give you 5 seconds to do that now.
"I love you too, Mommy," replied the little girl. "We had fun. We enjoyed it," said one. "We didn't even know we were in trouble."
Well, okay, then we don't need to worry anymore about it.
Let's move on. Oh my, a wily coyote. That's your cue.
I'm sorry?
A wily coyote led sharpshooters armed with tranquilizer guns on a wild coyote chase through Central Park until it was captured. This is Coyote One.
I have no Coyote One.
Oh, darn it.
I put it in there.
It's not in here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, perhaps. Well, take my word for
it. Where did you... What folder did you put it in?
The CNN Sound.
Yeah, not so much.
Please bear with us.
That's kind of a thing that you thought you did.
No, I deleted all the other things out of it.
I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at CNN Sound. There is no Coyote Sound.
Correct.
I've got Cheney, Fuel, Iran, Iraq, Katrina, and Storm.
Those are the ones I deleted.
No, you didn't. I'm looking in CNN Sound right now.
Wait, hang on. Mm-hmm.
This is a behind-the-scenes look on what really happens.
This fascinating look behind the curtain here in radio.
Perhaps we should pick another story and move on.
No. We're not going to be defeated by this.
I hate to dwell on coyote stories.
No, we're going
to
continue to dwell while we find out exactly
here
where the...
Go.
Oh, I see. So it's a
there
separate
it
CNN folder. All right, okay, that's...
All right.
That was our mistake. Okay. All right, let's pretend that we're going to take this all out in post. Tim, start again, please.
A wily coyote led sharpshooters armed with tranquilizer guns on a wild chase through Central Park before being captured.
That is too much.
It is.
Police sharpshooters with tranquilizer guns chased the coyote for hours before Officer Philip Tropp finally got a shot away.
I fired one dart at the coyote. We struck it.
The coyote was taken to the Central Park Conservatory, where it's being attended to by veterinarians. Once it's fully recovered from its ordeal, it will be released into the...
I think they should just release it into Queens instead. You know what I mean? Make a sort of reality show about it. Like, the reality shows are just getting more and more ludicrous and to the point anyway. You ought to just have, like, we release a coyote into a closet full of babies in Queens. Right there? I'd watch that.
I guess I would, too.
Like, what's this show? This show is Wolverine on Angel Dust, set loose inside the projects. I'd completely, you fit him with a camera, you put like an IKEA logo on him, you get a little sponsorship out of it, gold. That's like a 40 share right there.
Meanwhile, President Bush said he is deeply troubled that an Afghan man is being tried for converting to Christianity. Abdul Rahman, who's 41, faces a possible death sentence for converting from Islam to Christianity. He's being charged with rejecting Islam, a crime under this country's Islamic law. Bush said in his speech that, well, this young democracy is growing in Afghanistan, but he's concerned about this particular case. We expect them to honor the universal principle of freedom. I am troubled when I hear, deeply troubled when I hear, the fact that a person who's converted away from Islam is being held into account and may die.
Okay. Well, that's good to see that American values are spreading.
The president's approval rating is tied to Iraq right now. Bush, number one.
All right.
It was an election which always gives Americans encouragement, and they still can't form a government. That election was back in January. There was supposed to be good news that we're making progress, and suddenly that terrible bombing in Samarra, and the result has been a lot of concern about a civil war.
I know that it makes me a terrible American, but I have no, when they talk about a terrible bombing at where?
Samarra?
Yeah. I don't even know where Samarra is.
I don't either.
I have no
Not
idea.
That it matters. It we don't know what it looked like before it was bombed.
And, you know, and here's the thing, is I can't possibly convey to you how little I care about the bombing in Samarra. It doesn't matter because it's got to, you know, there was one last week, going to be another one next week. Doesn't matter. This is just sort of an endlessly repeating. This news cycle with Iraq, it's sort of like one newsy AC/DC album. You know what I mean? Where it's about every 3 years, you just get the same thing with a different label on it. Doesn't matter. It's just going to endlessly repeat.
Americans are being concerned that Americans are being killed every day in Iraq.
Americans are interested in what's happening to Americans, American troops over there. If an American gets killed, if Americans get wounded, that's what interests the American news media, and that's what interests the American people.
Well, it's... Yeah.
Meanwhile, Vermont Governor James Douglas said he's disappointed he had to eat imitation maple syrup during his recent visit to Vermont troops in Iraq and Kuwait. A photograph of the governor eating with troops in Kuwait showed a bottle of pancake syrup. Douglas spokesman Jason Gibbs said the governor had to eat what was on the table, but he's disappointed that it's not real Vermont maple syrup.
Okay. We'll be back after this. See, you should feel right at home, Sarah. This is like a... You feel like you're on coin? We've got the human interest story. We've got the bad pun with the animal in it. You know, hey, Wile E. Coyote. It's all that we're really missing here is you standing in front of a green screen and me shuffling some papers and wearing like a bad sport coat.
And a story about a 30-pound trout.
Totally.
I don't have that.
No, I got a story about a 30-pound tumor, though. I don't have a trout.
Well, that'll have to do.
It's not about a trout. I have a story about a woman with a tumor so large that in the hospital they had to put a gurney next to her to hold the tumor.
Oh.
Well, no, I have that. No, I'll find it, too.
That's news that's to the point, isn't
that's...
it?
You guys just want me to be fired, don't you?
No, and I got a great coin pun that I'll use on the tumor story too.
Okay,
I've been setting it aside. No, I figure, look, if Sarah can make the transition into news, then who among us cannot? Right? You know what I'm saying?
Was that supposed to be a compliment?
No. It's not. I'm saying you set the bar low. I'm saying you're an inspiration. I'm saying you can do it. Therefore, we can do it. You've made us believe in our dreams. So I think that Tim and I can probably make that transition into TV news as well. So several times today, I'm going to be doing stories as though I were an anchor on Coin. And it's part of my trying to be an ongoing inspiration to the peoples of Portland.
Yes, you're very inspiring.
Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Products from the Clorox Company arrived at Cold Creek Elementary School in Golden, Colorado, with instructions to hand them out to parents instead. School officials gave them directly to the students, some as young as kindergartners. The young students wiped samples of...
Products from what?
Clorox.
Have some bleach, kids.
The young students received samples of the gel Clorox cleanup disinfecting cleaner and wipes.
You know, when you're 5 years old, you're basically still at the trend not to put your own waste back in your mouth stage.
The children thought the products with toys, and others simply wiped them on their faces, as all kids will do.
I'm sorry.
One parent was so angry she called Clorox, and then the school, she even talked to the son's teacher.
You know, I know it's wrong to laugh at the idea of children getting the fistfuls of Clorox and deciding it was something they should put inside their heads. But
Clorox's PR program is called Clean Up the Classroom.
There you go. Let's take a break, shall we? And take this break. I'm going to get some more caffeine. We're going to come back, and we're going to wrangle the rest of this news hour into submission. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. When we return, this program will be executed flawlessly and without error. It is the Rick Emerson Show live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on Johnson 970. Flawlessly from this moment forward. It's 503-733-2970. That, my friends, is the phone number for this, the Rick Emerson Show, broadcasting from here, Johnson 970, to you, the Rick Emerson audience, on this, a Wednesday. Thank you for coming by. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. You like to email us as well. You hear that? You hear that new sound of youth and vigor and vim and vitality in my voice? You know what that is? The sound of caffeine. Consumed during the break and now powering this. This. A talk nucleus. We appreciate your patronage today. We got Tim Riley also coming up. Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio New York is going to join us later on. Jim Roop will be here from Los Angeles. We're going to do the top five as well today. Top five Aerosmith songs you never hear because they're never played on the radio. I should note at this juncture, I had this whole inspiration last night about my top five where I was going to do the top five blandest. It originally was going to be the top five blandest rock stars. And I immediately just started thinking of Eddie Money. And then it transitioned in my head from being top five blandest rock stars to being top five blandest rock acts. And I realized that it was just so overwhelming. There were so many bands out there. There were so many albums. There were so many completely uninteresting and tedious records that are released every year that I was completely overwhelmed. That I had no, it was an avalanche of music from which to pick, and I had no way to do it myself and to wrestle it into submission. So I turned it over to the people. And so what I did is I posted my first ever MySpace bulletin last night. And I went out to, you post a bulletin that goes out to all your friends? Is that the deal? Goes to your MySpace friends?
Mm-hmm.
So I sent out my first ever MySpace bulletin, and the people, as we speak now, they're gathering en masse online, and they are doing my work for me, which is a fantastic thing and a development in technology that I am happy with. So tomorrow we will be presenting the top five blandest rock acts of all time, as determined, compiled, and aggregated by those folks who are on my MySpace list. So there you go. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. Later on today, top five Aerosmith songs you have never heard. And we'll get to this terrible production music as well.
Hey, real quick, will you tell me what happened with Carol? People are calling. They want to know.
I will, but first I have to ask this.
It's a tease.
It's a guarantees. Among the many pieces of audio we need to have produced for this show is a guarantees sounder for whenever I execute one of those without error. Am I wrong about this, or is that Darnell the Crabman on the back of the Office Max trucks? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Listen to that. Listen to you, grumpy old guy. Oh, I don't. Get off my lawn.
We're just waiting to hear about the injury. I don't care about a crab.
All right. Well, first, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio, New York.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah.
Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio correspondent extraordinaire, joins us from the city that never sleeps. How are you, Gary? Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Better off than the phones, I guess.
Sir, I thought you'd been taken down by a wolf there for a moment.
No.
Now, is this true that there was a single solitary, literally a lone wolf wandering New York, and you guys had to call out like, the National Guard or the Riot Squad or something?
Yep. Yeah, this coyote somehow made its way from, they believe, Westchester County, through the asphalt jungle and into Central Park.
I thought you guys were all street smart and tough and whatnot. Doesn't seem like one wolf would bring the city to its knees.
I'll tell you what, it took them about 20 hours to corral that son of a gun. And it was just amazing. You know, between the police and the park rangers and the news choppers and the camera crews running here and there, it was like the biggest thing to happen in New York City in a while.
Let me tell you, here in the Northwest, we're not frightened by any such creature. Any such development would be met with mere yawns in this part of the country because we're a hardy people, Gary.
I don't see more
I was really particularly frightened by him. I think they were just kind of excited about the fact that there was a wild coyote running through Central Park, and they wanted to get a glimpse of it.
And they
because they weren't concerned that it was going to attack humans. Was people walking their dogs through there could the dogs might have looked tasty morsels to the coyotes.
This is really just an excuse for the helicopters to get out and film something, right? That's kind of what all the news organizations
They're out there anyway, so, you know, they were real lucky because this happened to happen during, you know, the morning news show, so they actually had something other than accidents and little house fires to show for.
Let me ask you this, dude. We've already heard from numerous news sources on this end the a wily coyote was caught in Central Park.
Wasn't that just great writing?
Is there
original?
Have you guys heard the anything? Have you heard any other horrific puns? I'm cataloging them today.
No, that one kept getting repeated so much that the first time I thought it was okay, sort of kind of cheap but cute. But after a while, it's like how many times do you have to say it?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the AP story, you'll see that the term wily appears at least twice.
Of course, because there's sort of a radio cliche book that they just sort of default to.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, let me ask you this. I was reading this story, and tell me if I've got this right, that you were covering this for CNN, And I'm reading now from the CNN report here. It says workers on the Brooklyn Bridge found 1950s era supplies stowed away in an event of attack by the enemy compartment.
Nuclear attack.
So this is, so where exactly on the Brooklyn, where were these supplies stowed away since the 50s, and what were they exactly?
You know, the big question is, how did they remain there undetected for such a long period of time, especially when we're trying to protect the bridge against terrorist attacks?
Something's been sitting there for five decades unnoticed by anyone.
They were in on the third floor of a three-story compartment on the base of the bridge.
Right.
So they were stored there to be open in case of a nuclear attack, and there were like crackers and I don't know what other kind of supplies to sustain life after such an attack.
Yeah.
And supposedly the crackers were still edible.
Well, no, let me tell you this. Now, I have some experience with survival food.
Uh-huh.
And I never tire of telling the story. Here's why. I've, and many people in the audience have heard me tell this story ad nauseum and ad infinitum, but when I was first starting in radio, one of the very first stations I worked at, there was no, and it's good to see that things have changed, there was no live talk studio, so they had to build something just for me, because they'd never, you know, they had no capacity for a live show.
Right.
And so when they put me on the air, they had to build something, and it was, and everyone thinks that I'm using hyperbole when I tell this story, but it's absolutely true. A friend of mine recently applied for a job at the station, and he saw what I'm about to tell you. He saw it, and he knew it to be true. I did my show out of a bomb shelter. It was an old-style, actual fallout shelter. You went down three flights of stairs. It had the radiation symbol on the door. The walls were cement and steel.
Right.
And
why not?
Yeah.
They put some padding in there to get rid of some of the echo, and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about the outside sounds interfering with your broadcast. Heck, somebody could drop a bomb, literally, and you wouldn't hear it feel it.
And it's like, I mean, it was two stations. It was a talk station and a rock station. So the only thing it was being used for was for the production staff to, you know, to get high and to, like, bang groupies.
I bet you they were PO'd that they lost that space to your studio.
It was like our own little Paraquat lounge. There was just, there was nothing going on, but just, you know, illicit drug use and the shagging of groupies. That was it. So they moved my show down there. And one night I dropped a pen or my headphones or a quarter or whatever. Anyway, and it was the old thing like you see in the movies where I drop the quarter and it like rolls around a corner that I never noticed before, and I follow it back there. And because it was a bomb shelter, it was these huge, gigantic tins of what I later found out were termed survival biscuits.
Right.
And they were all from like 1961, 62, from, you know, the Cuban Missile era.
That's right.
And I opened, and so they, by this point, they'd been there for what, 35, 40 years. And I opened a tin, and I'll be damned if you couldn't actually still eat it. And they weren't good, but I don't suppose they were good back in the 60s either.
Well, I mean, they sustain your life in a pinch. Why not?
Oh, and they weighed like 40 pounds each. It was one of those where like one of those MREs that the military consumed.
MREs are much better, especially the ones that are produced not for the military. When we were down in New Orleans covering the hurricane, we were living off of MREs and until the one Domino's opened, and then we were all set.
you get the sandwich that's like 3,500 calories, you know, because it's like they never know if you're going to get a chance to eat or not for the next day or so.
Right. You know? It's high protein, keeps you going, exactly. And there are actually three meals in each package. And by the way, while we're on the subject, even though this really wasn't the reason I called in, I'll tell you, I would recommend that everybody get a stockpile of MREs. They're good for 3, 4, maybe 5 years, depending. And a stockpile them. And I'm not saying, you know, God forbid a terrorist attack, but what if there's a snowstorm and you're out of power and you can't, you know, you can't even zap something in the microwave, or, you know, anything could happen to cause you to be temporarily unable to get food.
See, unfortunately, my neighborhood is filled with two things, methamphetamine and lots of fat people, which you wouldn't really think that those two things would exist together in the same space.
No. Well, but at least you know who's not using the drugs.
Seriously. So it's like I'll be able to stay awake and alert, and I'll have lots of tasty morsels in my own neighborhood to dine on, my friend.
Because I think I don't think I've ever seen an obese methamphetamine user, or at least not any of the episodes of Cops that I've seen.
No, especially because they reach that point where their teeth are gone, and so it's just a diet of mush. That's all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio New York. Thank you, sir.
Catch you later.
All right, there you go. That's Gary Baumgarten. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. The best show on network TV, Bones, is on at 8.
Starring Alistair Cook.
No, this is somebody else, somebody who's very much alive. Now we have Big Love on HBO, followed by The Sopranos.
Let's take these things one at a time. Bones is that it stars David Boreanaz, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And see, David Boreanaz, who is known to geeks everywhere as Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then later from the spinoff Angel, which starred him. And Bones is one of those shows that I've heard. Like, I heard good things about it, but it didn't seem like it could possibly be good, and so I just never watched it. Like, I assumed that all of the raves were incorrect.
No, it's very well written, and it'll keep you on the edge of your seat.
Isn't it some paranormal detective?
Not paranormal. They investigate murders, and they talk about, in technical terms, medical terms, about autopsies.
This is just another show where it's an excuse to show some guy cut lengthwise, under a microscope, mm-hmm. right?
All basically.
Right. Okay.
Cooking with Octopus is on Bravo tonight.
Okay.
Another Woman's Husband.
Oh, Lifetime.
Yep.
Excellent.
Starring Lisa Rinna and Gail O'Grady.
And let me note that, I don't know why O'Grady's a funny name, but it is. Let me note that I still haven't seen Big Love, by the way. I got two episodes sitting there on my TiVo, completely unwatched, because I'm so unbelievably behind the last week or two. And eventually, I will no longer be that way. Eventually, I will once again be able to gorge on television, as is my right as an American. But for now, I'm just falling ever more behind with all of the stuff that I feel like I'm supposed to be watching, like Big Love, which had all of the buzz about, and I just never, I've never seen it.
Then there's a whole bunch of these ghost hunter shows. Have you seen any of these? This is when they go looking for the celebrities and ghosts and never find them, but they get another budget to do another show every week.
Which they're doing on pay-per-view with John Lennon. We've got a story about that somewhere in the pile.
Oh, Yoko doesn't like that, I
yeah, think. They're doing the, and everybody's so pleased about the, worried about pleasing Yoko Ono. They've got this seance thing they're going to be doing with John Lennon, yeah.
And one more. Oh, there's finally something on Showtime to watch. Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow.
Which is a fantastic film.
It is.
Which is a fantastic film. And one that they will probably not be sequelizing, because I know it did very poorly at the box office.
And people have no taste.
Yeah, no, it is. People are fools. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
I am Jeff, a full-time listener.
You are Jeff's call to the Rick Emerson Show? Okay, what's up?
Yeah. I wanted to know if we're allowed to guess of what the horrific injury is.
Oh, did I never reveal
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, you
and
still
I'm
have
sorry, would, did I tease like that guess. And then fail to pay it off? That's so unlike me. I'm sorry, what?
I'd like to guess stung by a bee up the nose.
No, no, but thank you. That's a good guess. It's incorrect. That would be painful, though.
Right.
It does sort of beg the question of how you would be stung. It seems like it would be difficult work for a bee to somehow get inside your nose. It seems like you'd have to be really like, at that point, it doesn't fall under the category of accidents. That falls under the calculated attack by nature to rid the world of humans, sort of a thing.
I was actually stung by a bee on a tongue, on my tongue.
See, here it comes. See, this is, you know what you are?
Camping incident.
You know what you are? You are what we call the instigating call.
In
radio terms, you are the instigator. You're not unlike that. You're not unlike that initial charge that they set off whenever they're doing dynamite blasting. You are the small charge that leads to the much larger explosion. Because as soon as any call that begins with "Rick, I had this really painful thing happen one time. What happened was," and then it's sort of Mad Libs where you insert sensitive part of your anatomy with some then like horrific cringe-inducing injury. And then for the next 3 hours, all it is guys calling up to go, "Yeah, I got a fork stuck inside my alimentary canal," or whatever. Just guys with just the most absurd things.
Or I swallowed a fork.
And Tim, this
no,
is a good...
I'm not the only one.
And Jeff, you're calling on an injury-centric day anyway, because Tim actually swallowed part of a fork yesterday.
I almost did the day
was
before.
Was it a plastic fork or an actual fork or like a spork from KFC?
Was it a spork or a fork?
It was a... What's the difference? It's a plastic
no,
fork.
No, a spork is the kind that's like a spoon, but it's got pointy tines on the front of it.
Oh, no. This was a regulation fork, but made out of plastic.
All right, and so this is now, is it because it... Was it broken off?
I was stirring my meal before I put it back into the microwave. Then I began to eat it, and then by the time I was done, I noticed only half the fork is here.
Hold on. Now, did you not register the fact that you were swallowing bits of cutlery? Later when you noticed that your fork was, like, stubby, that the tips were gone?
Uh-huh. So then I went hunting for it, as Sarah Dillon did.
What do you mean you went hunting for it?
Well, you kind of, like, paw around in it.
Oh, in the food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hoping to find it.
And how did that work?
It was fruitless.
So it's actually in your stomach, right? It's on its way through your digestive system right now.
It is.
Call Rick Emerson now with your strange injuries.
Yep.
503-733-2990.
Well, we don't have to ask people to do that.
Wait, hold on. That's fantastic. Do that one more time.
Call Rick Emerson now with your strange injuries. 503-733-2970.
Thank you, Jeff.
You've
I appreciate
got the number
it.
Right.
All right, there you go. Why don't you say P1? Is it devoted listener? I'm talking about.
So be careful of these plastic.
Look
cords.
At that. Look at those phone lines.
So what happened to
behold
her?
The power of Jeff. All right. Here's what happened to Carol at the front desk. And again, I want to preface this by saying Carol's a fantastic person. She's always been very good to us. She has a certain, and I mean it's in a good way, she's very kind of a maternal quality. Like mm-hmm. you feel that she would take care of you. She would solve your problems. Yep. And then she was gone for a day or so. And we didn't know why. We didn't know where she'd gone to. Let me put these, hold, let me just put these on hold. All right, I'm just putting these calls on hold because we are still a sans screener on the Rick Emery. This whole show is just spiraled immediately out of control, like at 12:02. All right, so if you are on hold now. You have called, and we've put your calls on hold. They will be taken. Your call is important to us and will be taken in the order. We are receiving a high volume of, you know, the thing. So she was gone for a couple of days. I don't know where she was. I thought she was on vacation or, you know, whatever. And, of course, Carol is, like all the receptionists. And is that what you're supposed to? I don't even know if you're supposed to call. Is it receptionist?
Yeah, I think a receptionist.
Because
for
a while.
Not a secretary.
Not secretary.
Or a gal Friday. Or
not,
stenographer.
No, you're. Because there's certain terms that are. There's certain terms that are acceptable and polite, and then there's certain right. terms that are pejorative.
How about
that
a concierge?
She's a concierge. That's exactly. She's a consigliere. That's mm-hmm. exactly what she is. Mm-hmm. So. But you are probably the same way that we are at your business. What you at your company, you probably have a Carol. And a Carol is the woman who works at the front desk, and she is the gatekeeper of all knowledge and information, right? Wherever you work, whatever you do, there is a Carol. It's often, but not always, a woman. Sometimes it's a man. But she really, everything passes through her like a semi-porous membrane. Everything that has to be done goes through her. And if she's on your side, anything is possible. If she is not on your side, you're never going to get anything accomplished in your job. So she was gone, and I was kind of weirding me out. I wasn't able to get anything done. I couldn't accomplish anything. She wasn't here to make it happen. And so I found out, here's what happened. Here's why she was gone for a day and a half. And it is a testament to her strength and her resilience that she's back. So she's leaving the studio, and we have this street right out front. And so she's crossing the street. I don't know if it was like a pothole or some sort of like a momentary inner ear imbalance or whatever. A little bit of grit or whatever on the street. She's crossing the street, and this was witnessed by our friend John Paul from Couple. He was there driving along in the street, and he happened to see this. She's crossing the street, takes a step. Some reason, shoe goes out from under her. She starts heading down face first. Snaps off some teeth at the gum line. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. See, that'll stay with you when you try to sleep tonight. Next time you're brushing your teeth, next time you're putting anything that's semi-rigid into your mouth, you'll think about that. You'll think of your teeth broke. And that story has just many, many hundreds of layers and levels of great awfulness to it. Because any injury story that contains the phrase snapped off, broken off, at the gum line, these are, and so I think she's got like brand new teeth. I think it was like that day. Like they took her in and they just, you know, they pulled it. And to extract the roots and
oh, that was just unnecessary.
No, but I think that's how they have to do it. I've never done. Now I say, knocking wood, I have never had any dental injuries. I had a couple cavities when I was a kid, and that's it. I've had good. Your teeth are your best friend. You got to take care of those. And so I have never had any injury to my teeth. So they got to go like dig out the remainders, you know. And so I think she has brand new. I couldn't even tell though. I didn't even know that she'd experienced that until, you know, that they were telling the story about why she was gone. So there you go.
Oh,
so that's why Carol was gone.
Poor woman.
Broken off at the gum line. That's today's phrase. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Speaking of that, scientists have long known that fluoride in water strengthens teeth. Now, government scientists report too much fluoride can be a problem. All right.
The National Academy of Sciences has released the results of a study that examined water supply in which the fluoride is naturally occurring, not at systems where fluoride is added to promote healthy teeth. Added fluoride is usually at low levels. The scientists found when fluoride naturally occurs at high levels, it can cause tooth and bone damage. More studies needed, they say, but the scientists recommend high fluoride be reduced to lower levels. Dick Uliano, CNN, Washington.
All right, somewhere you can hear all of Clive's listeners scrabbling to pound out long treatises on how the government is poisoning us through fluoride.
Meanwhile, Kenny Rogers thinks choosing good people is the key to business success.
I'm sorry. I'll take blunt segues for 100, Alex. Kenny Rogers.
The greatest gift in the world is a good employee, you know, are people who can do your work for you and do it well the way you'd like to have it done. And I've always been able to surround myself with really good people.
Why are we talking to Kenny Rogers?
Well, because we're trying to talk about teeth.
Okay, thank you.
He says choosing songs for a new CD is what he does best.
I've never felt I was a particularly good singer, but I've always thought I had a great knack for picking hit songs. I've never felt I
you know,
was
Kenny
a particularly
Rogers...
good singer.
Okay, stop. Okay, thank you. Kenny Rogers is one of those guys. I don't even remember the last time Kenny Rogers had a hit, but he's one of those guys that immediately entered the pop culture consciousness, and he will be known forever. If some guys are like that. You know, Dennis Rodman's another one of those guys. When's the last time Dennis Rodman did something? I mean, he hasn't. I don't think he's had a reality show for a long time. He hasn't played basketball forever. He's just one of those guys, not like Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray. He's another one of these guys.
Tony Danza.
He gets injected into the pop culture bloodstream, and people will be aware of him until the end of time. I guess Kenny Rogers got the chicken thing, right? He's got the Kenny Rogers roasters.
He might be.
Doesn't he have that thing?
Oh, he did.
He has the that chain of the Rogers, right? Isn't that...
Maybe that's what this business success is.
Because there was a Seinfeld, right, where Kramer was addicted to the Kenny Rogers chicken?
That is true, yes.
Because he was being kept awake by the red sign outside. I'm becoming one of those people where everything is just everything I know, I've filtered through either The Simpsons or Seinfeld. But Kenny Rogers, he did this... He was in this band, which anybody probably under the age of 35 doesn't know about, which is Kenny Rogers and Tim Riley. Kenny Rogers and the... Oh, come
on. The Gambler?
No. The band he was with.
Oh, the First Edition.
The First Edition. And they had that... What was that song? I just stopped in this...
Ruby, don't take your love to town.
But see, that was just Kenny Rogers solo, though, wasn't it?
No, Kenny Rogers in the First Edition.
Okay, well, what was that psychedelic song that he released? He released this psychedelic song in the 60s. And my friend Charlie wants...
My friend Charlie
once described it as being a song written by a guy who clearly had never done drugs, but wanted to write a song that sounded like what he thought a drug trip sounded like. Mm-hmm. And the song was called "I Just Stopped In to See What Condition My Condition Is In."
It,
yeah,
right.
And it's completely written by like some Brill Building square who's never taken a drug in his life, but clearly thought that he was going to try to capture some of the youth market by having Kenny Rogers sing an ode to LSD use, which is fantastic.
Wow.
And so that was like 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had...
Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, and Islands in the Stream, and Lady, That'll Never Go Away.
Ruby, who did I see the other day saying that they were a massive Kenny Rogers fan? It was somebody completely unlikely. It was like Kanye West or somebody was talking about being a huge... He was talking about being a huge Coward of the County fan. So, Kenny Rogers, by the way, also had this streak where I don't know if he pioneered this, but Kenny Rogers had this streak where every time he would write a song, it's like they would simultaneously make it into a TV movie starring him and Barbara Mandrell. You know what I mean? Like, they did it with The Gambler, they did it with the Ruby song, they did it with Coward of the County, and so it's like he would release Coward of the County on, like, a Tuesday, and then on Thursday, CBS Tonight, a special event, Coward of the County, and then they cue the song... And then it's Kenny Rogers and like an adorable Moppet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like a widow, all living together in a trailer somewhere. And then somebody's got to stand up to a bully, and then somebody's got to win like a horse race.
And the song plays between dialogue.
And the song, out of commercials. And the song is just constantly looping in the background. There's just like some terrible Muzak version. Like, and actually in that Kenny Rogers Roasters restaurant. It is a real place. I don't know if it's ever been on the West Coast, but it is an actual restaurant, Kenny Rogers Chicken Roasters. And I talked once to a woman who is a waitress at Kenny Rogers Roasters, and she described the slowly going insane from working there. Because if you work at Kenny Rogers Roasters, what they do is they take like the five biggest Kenny Rogers songs, which are The Gambler, Coward of the County, Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town, Planet Texas, and... and what is that? An Island to the Stream.
Yeah.
And Reuben James. Reuben James. And there's six songs in Muzak form on an endless loop. That's about 18 minutes worth of music.
It makes people eat faster, so they don't have to hear it a second time.
Oh, I've got to get out! Oh, kids, finish your coleslaw. We have to leave. And so people just begin weeping helplessly, like at the 26-minute mark. Like at the fifth time you start hearing about how there's someone for everyone and Tommy's love was Becky, you just start crying openly into your soup and you have to leave. So
and then the managers are forced to pay royalties every time the song plays.
You know, the really, not to talk about Kenny Rogers anymore, but you know the really creepy
this
thing?
This is more publicity he's gotten in years.
We should bill him. The really creepy thing about Kenny Rogers, that's a phrase you don't hear a lot. The really creepy thing about Kenny Rogers is, and I don't think, I mean, we're right next to the couple.
Don't play him either.
Fine country station. No, that's why I can make this observation. I don't think anybody really plays a lot of Kenny Rogers music anymore. But, the next time, you happen to be at somebody's house, they've got that Kenny Rogers 8-track sitting around. Next time you happen to be in a store and you hear Kenny Rogers playing along in the background, take a good long listen to the lyrics for Coward of the County. You want to talk about a song that would never get recorded and never be played on the radio today. Coward of the County, which I think the Chipmunks covered on Chipmunk, on Urban Chipmunk. Mm-hmm. I can't do the Chipmunk voice, but I'm pretty sure that the Chipmunks covered it. Okay. Coward of the County is about gang raping. Now, I don't really know if you all are aware of that fact. And this is not some sort of Puff the Magic Dragons about weed thing where I'm just like making something up or I'm just sort of giving you some drastic revision of the text. Coward of the County is about a guy who is forced to go whoop up on some other dudes after they pull a long, hard afternoon with his girlfriend, like one after another, because there is that line. Give me the blank stare.
No, I mean, I've heard, these soccer moms cranking that up because it's such a pretty tune.
The next time.
They go into Washington Square.
The next time you listen to Coward of the County, listen to that lyric. Right, we have done like 40 minutes of Kenny Rogers talk now, but listen to that line at the end about, and it's not the Gatlin boys. I forget what they're called, but it's like the gang in town, the gang of dudes. It's like the Cotlin boys or something like that. And there's that line about, there's someone for everyone, and Tommy's love was Becky. In her eyes, he didn't have to prove. In her eyes, he didn't have to prove he was a man.
This must be karaoke time.
And then
I don't know what's going on.
And then there's that line about Tommy was gone, and the Gatlin boys, it's not Gatlin, but it's something. The Gatlin boys came calling. Wait for it. They took turns at Becky, and there was three of them.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. I mean, it's, whatever sells, I suppose. But you can't really write a lot of gang raping into country now. That's not going to get you that.
You can't really sneak that in.
That's not really going to get.
Maybe like Chingy would do it.
It's not going to get you a lot of that SUV demographic. So, all right. Do we need the break?
No, we want to hear more about Kenny Rogers.
Let's hear more about gang raping. He said, God. And there was three of them. And in the TV movie, he discovers that she's been gang raped because she has one of those mannequin dummies that you size a dress on. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? And he comes in and it's all torn. It's all torn. Like to add insult to injury, they gang rape her and then they tear her mannequin. Like the raping didn't teach her a lesson.
We'll be back with a new couple afternoon show following these messages.
We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Jim Roop on the way. Top five. Your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. Broken up at the gum line.